So I'm going to turn this over to Jane Degenshine for the Technology Hour.
All right. And I'm so psyched that Judy is so psyched about technology, or at least she's a great actress. Anyway, today is Tuesday. We had a wonderful day yesterday in all of the sessions. Everybody learned something. Everybody taught something. It was great. And not to be off the target, we're going to do that again today. Today, I'm really pleased to pronounce and announce the tech team that we have here with us. In New Jersey, we have a New Jersey Division of Technology. There's about 65 members, probably about 45 active members. And we have a tech team today of four people, the Tracy Carcioni, Tony Santiago, Ed Goffrey, and myself. And the theme is That's Entertainment Blind Style. So we're going to help you get entertainment at your fingertips pretty easily, pretty cheaply, and pretty gently. So let's see. We're going to start with Tracy Carcioni, and I'm going to hand the floor over to you, honey, and you can introduce yourself and tell them what you're going to be talking about.
Okay. How's my sound? All right?
Good.
Good.
Okay, good. I'm Tracy Carcioni. Lovely to meet you. I guess I'm a senior, too. And I live in New Jersey, and I'm going to talk about free TV apps for the iPhone and also ways to find audio drama like old-time radio. Some of these things you can do on the computer, too, so I'll try and point that out. Okay, apps for the iPhone. My first choice for TV is Cero, S-E-R-O, which actually isn't free. It costs around $6 a month. It has audio described tracks for many TV shows and movies. Many are from the UK and USA, but there are also descriptions in other languages like Spanish, German, Hindi, Turkish. I'm often surprised. It is only the audio, so people who want to see the show probably won't like it, but I love it. Also, the shows aren't always synced with the TV season here. Some are early, some are late. I use other TV apps which have video but often don't have video description. Amazon has Freevee, F-R-E-E-V-E-E. I had to sign in with my Amazon account one time. I haven't gotten any spam from doing that. It has lots of old shows and a few new ones, and has synopses and cast listings besides the video. Some of the shows even have descriptions, but you can't tell until you get into it whether it does or not. But I turned on the thing that says described, and when there is a description, it comes on. Pluto TV has many channels in different categories. It's fine for watching single shows, but I find it very difficult to find the next episode in a linked series. It plays the shows over and over in a loop, and then it moves on to another loop, but I can never figure out when. PBS Video, that's public television's thing. It has some public TV shows, some with audio descriptions, such as Nature or Ken Burns or Nova, things like that. American Experience. Sometimes shows are described there that were not described on my local station. For instance, the Ken Burns Country Music series wasn't described on my Channel 13, but it was described on the app, so I watched it there. Spectrum Access comes from Spectrum Cable, but you don't have to be a customer to use it. I haven't actually tried it, but it sounds pretty cool. But what it does is you select a show and the phone uses its microphone to sync the description soundtrack with the show on your TV. Now, this is other things. I also like old-time radio and other kinds of audio drama. I listen on an app called OO Tunes, but other internet radio apps have it too, and there are other internet radio places that you can get to on your computer. To begin with, I searched for OTR, old time radio, OTR, and I saved the stations that I found that are old time radio. Once I saved a station as a favorite, I can listen anytime. There are many kinds of shows, but my favorites are detectives and crime fighters, like Sam Spade, Philip Marlowe, Boston Blackie, and Nira Wolf. YouTube also has lots of old-time radio. I usually search for a detective I like and get plenty of hits. Another radio app I use all the time on my phone is BBC Sounds from the BBC in England. I had to sign up, but the BBC doesn't seem to mind that I'm not in the UK and I haven't gotten any spam. It has many BBC stations, including BBC 4 and 4 Extra, which have radio plays, comedy, people reading books, nature shows, short documentaries, podcasts, and sometimes UK sports, though sometimes they're blocked. It's easy to pause a show and pick it up later, or to go back, or to hear episodes that I missed. There's a section to continue listening, and a section of recommendations which are actually interesting. And that is my list of apps that I enjoy using. Thank
you. Terrific. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy. And we're going to continue with the panel. So the way this will run is the whole panel will speak, and then we'll have a Q&A section. So hang in there. You don't need to raise your hands as of yet. Jot down some notes if you need to, or if you need to be refreshed, you can always ask, the specific person that spoke, and they can assist you in remembering what you forgot. Anyway, up next is audio description. And this is the segment I'm going to take over. So back in the day, audio description was when a friend or family member whispered in your ear during the show at a movie or live theater, all while trying to watch television. And now with the advent of described audio, blind audiences can watch independently and not have to rely on whispers. Audio description is additional information provided by the narrator that describes setting, costumes, facial expressions, gestures, or other visual information interspersed amongst the dialogue. Intermittent attempts to make movies and theater and TV more accessible to blind people took place from the 1980s till about 2018. That's when the U.S. Department of Justice and the Office of Civil Rights entered into an agreement with Regal and AMC Theaters to provide audio description and closed captioning and amplification for all digitally produced films. Many other theaters have adopted this, as films are produced digitally, and it's easy to include these tracks with the regular soundtrack. Check online to determine whether your show has an AD symbol next to the CC closed captioning symbol, so you know before you get there that you'll be able to enjoy the show too independently. I would suggest you bring your own headset or earbuds for health reasons only and request the AD device. The theater staff are supposed to be trained in this. However, they can give you the wrong headset. You may receive a closed caption box in error. Be sure you have the audio description box, and the description should be already synced to the dialogue in the film. For live theater, check in advance to determine whether a production has a performance that is audio described. Descriptions are written by skilled describers and can be voiced by humans or even technology. If the device is not working, ask for another one. Netflix and Amazon Prime Video have promises to include AD in their productions. Excuse me. Please hold on one second. I need to take a drink. I spoke too fast. Please request and use audio description whenever you can. The movie industry needs to remember how important this service is to us blind folks. Use it or lose it. If not enough of us ask for it, it will be perceived as non-essential. We don't want that to happen. Some television shows, including some on public television, include audio description. Check in your show listings for more information and be proactive. And your show experience can be as good as our sighted peers. And that's my portion. Next up is Ed Goffrey talking about YouTube. Ed, you have the floor.
And Ed, you are muted.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We hear you.
Okay. But before I talk about YouTube, I just wanted to come off of what Jane was talking about. I have Xfinity and I have the X1 box and it has the voice guidance on it. And you can turn audio description on and off by saying turn audio description on. You can even have your Xfinity box play a specific channel. So a lot of shows are, you have to actually try it. For instance, the Law and Order shows and things like that, they're audio described. So you turn audio description on and it will actually give you the description. If you have the Stream app on your phone, you can also bring that up. So that's pretty good. Another old time radio site you might want to check out is called audiovault.net, AudioVault.net. They have a tremendous amount of audio described shows. They're only audio. The first time you get on, you have to log in, you have to create an account, it's completely free, and you can download these shows in MP3 format. Now, they don't have descriptions, but you can search for a specific movie or TV show, and they're there. Now to the presentation I have is about YouTube. YouTube is a tremendous source of entertainment, and what is YouTube? Some of you may not know what YouTube is, but YouTube is a web sharing service. It actually developed, I think, in 2005, and it's actually run by Google. And YouTube has videos of just about any subject you can imagine. It's unbelievable what they have on there. If you want to learn about your medication, if you want to learn about your when I got my diabetic Libre, I YouTubed it, and they had reviews on it. My grandchildren, they love YouTube. They have all their cartoons and all their shows on there. YouTube's that. Now, where can you get YouTube? Well, you can get YouTube just about anything these days. You don't have to have a phone or a computer to have YouTube. Well, you can get YouTube on your phone, you get it on your computer. Xfinity. I know I have the X1 box, and I can play a show on YouTube. Let's say, for instance, if I want to hear a specific music artist, like Bob Seger, I say, play Bob Seger with YouTube. Or I just say, actually, don't even have to use the word play. And it'll come up. Now, you might get some advertisements, but you do that right on your TV box. If you have a Amazon TV, the Fire TV, YouTube is on your Fire Stick. And it's very easy to get VoiceView to pop up on your Fire Stick. You hold down the menu and the back buttons for 2 seconds, and the thing starts talking to you. And you can play shows on YouTube, and it has Alexa. So YouTube is on your TV. YouTube is on your Fire tablet, computers, iPhones, Androids. YouTube's everywhere these days. Now, we're talking about entertainment blind style, so I want to focus on entertainment. And Tracy was absolutely right about the old-time radio. YouTube is bombarded with it. When I was in high school, I used to like the CBS Radio Mystery Theater shows. I don't know if any of you remember those shows, but with E.G. Marshall and Rhina Rayburn and Ralph Bell was the key who I liked. And there's so many of them on there now. And all you have to do is say CBS Radio Mystery Theater when you go into your search, and you'll get a huge amount. How do we search for YouTube? Well, a couple of tips I like to give. YouTube is a lot of ads, and sometimes those advertisements can be difficult to get through. Now, YouTube has two different versions. They have a free version, and they have a paid version. The free version gives you a lot of ads. You can't download shows, and but you can still play them. You just have to skip the ad. And the paid version, you can download shows, and you don't get all the ads. I think most of them anyway. You don't get them. You totally get rid of them. So that's a personal choice. I don't pay for YouTube, so I deal with the ads. What I find on my phone, when I want to search, I swipe to YouTube and I do a triple tap. And that triple tap is the shortcut menu. And if I swipe, there's a search option right there. So you don't have to go into the app and find it. You do a search. It even gives you a voice search option. And then you can go over to the search at the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, and it'll give you that search. That's a quick, easy way to navigate YouTube. Once you get into YouTube and once you look for something, then you have the more options at the beginning, and you can search for playlists. You can search for upload date. You can search by different categories, most recent. So you get that option to search so you can get maybe newer shows. There's also a lot of movies on YouTube, not too much audio description. At least I haven't found them anyway, but there's a lot of movies on YouTube. Another app is the YouTube Music app. And the YouTube Music app is you can search for a specific artist, a specific genre, such as maybe country or oldies. And when you get in there, you can get to playlists, albums, songs. So you can actually get playlists. So maybe there's a specific artist you like or a specific type of music you like. 1970s. I happen to like the 1970s music. And so you put in 1970s and then you search for playlists and you get all these playlist. And it'll actually tell you how many songs are in the playlist. If you have, like, say, I like to play the guitar, and so if I want to learn about a specific song, I happen to like Elvis Presley. And so if I want to know the chords to a song of his, I just put in the song and chords, and it'll come up with the chords. And you hear this fellow, he sings a song, and then he tells you C, A minor, and he actually gives you the chords. That's pretty cool. So that pretty much wraps up my thing on YouTube. Like I said, there's another site for the old-time radio is mysteryshows.com. But that's kind of, you know, that's old, and it really is difficult to navigate. But it is a site if you want to play around with it to look around. But there's a lot of old-time radio shows out there. And, you know, I know when I'm on the bus, you know, waiting for Access Link, I like to tune into some of the old-time radio shows on YouTube. And, you know, it's pretty cool. So I hope I've given you some good advice and good information. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I'd like to thank Jane for giving me the opportunity to speak to you.
Oh, Ed, you're always welcome on this situation and stuff that we do. You know, you do a great job. And so did Tracy. And not to be forgotten is Tony Santiago, the vice president.
You know what, real quick, if I could talk about old-time radio. My wife and I last week went to listen to the Houston, Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. A phenomenal movie. And there are things about Whitney Houston that you learn about, you know, I won't go into detail, but with the audio description, it gives information about things that she had done. An example would be when she was taking her drugs, she would exchange it with a notebook. You know, Whitney would give an audiograph, and the dealer would hand her drugs, and then she would put the cash in the notebook. Well, you wouldn't know that if you didn't have the audio description. So that really opens up a whole different area. They describe how she's dressed. They describe, you know, the band and all that kind of stuff. Just things that you wouldn't know if you didn't have audio description.
Very good.
That's my presentation. Thanks.
Thank you. And Tony, we didn't forget you. And you're up next. And sit back and relax. Tony's got a bunch of stuff he's going to share with us. And then hang in there. And we'll make a couple of other statements after Tony. Go ahead, Tony.
How much time more or less do you want us to take, Janie?
I want you to take, let me see. To three, you have 20 minutes.
20
minutes.
Okay, that's plenty. Okay. Boy, these topics are great. And when I keep hearing all of these great things that are out there, all I say is, as a blind person, this is a great time to be alive if you want to go out there and access all the things that make you enjoy life a little better. Technology helps us do that. Now, my talk today, which I could spend an hour just talking about YouTube. That's how much I love YouTube so much. So if anybody has questions later, I can answer some questions about YouTube, how I use YouTube. But what I'm talking about today are podcasts. And it's a very common thing now, podcast. And I don't know if anyone out here, how many people know what a podcast actually is. And just think, for those who don't, a podcast is basically an audio file that's put on the internet or on a shared server somewhere where you can, for you to access through your computer or device to listen to. You know, there are a lot of episodes and many podcasts covering every topic you could possibly think of. So basically, it's like the audio version of YouTube. Okay, so YouTube is video and audio, but this is strictly audio. And YouTube is a specific app. And for accessing podcasts, you can use there are various apps. Just on the for iOS alone, which is an iPhone or an iPad, you have at least three or four very popular ones with the blind community because they're completely accessible and very very intuitive and very useful. Your iDevice, your iPad or iPhone, comes with a podcast app built in, and it's very accessible and very usable. The one that I use myself that I prefer, and usually everyone sticks with the one that they started with because they're all so good that once you're comfortable with one, there's really no reason to go to another one unless you learn that they have a specific feature that you don't have on yours. But for the most part, they all do the same thing, which is allow you to subscribe to a podcast. So for example, before I get into that, let me just say that you can also access podcasts through the internet. I'm just going to provide the various ways you can access podcasts. The internet, and you could download them to various devices. I believe the what is that, the voice dream reader, what is the reader that they have, the Victor Reader Stream. I think you can download podcasts to that directly from the internet if you subscribe to podcasts. So basically, these are audio files that you can access. So now, what a podcast app would allow you to do is subscribe to every podcaster will have a subscription that you can subscribe. That way, you can access all of their podcasts and see and get notified when new ones are coming out. And they're organized in your app in alphabetical order, in whatever order you choose, and it's easy to access. So what an app will allow you to do, for example, the one that I use is Overcast. And like I said, most of them will perform the same tasks, will allow you to see your podcast, see the list of podcasts. It'll allow you, most of them will let you see which ones you've read and which ones you've heard and which ones you haven't heard. It will also let you download them. It'll let you set up a playlist if you want to set up favorites, if you listen to favorite, regardless of what category it falls into. If you just want to save it into a favorites playlist, you can do that. Basically, those are all the basic things you can do. Now, when you're listening to a podcast, some of them will allow you to skip back and forth in increments that you set up, by 30 seconds, by 1 minute, as you hit the fast forward and rewind. Some of them will allow you to skip by chapters. So if, for example, Jonathan Mosen has a podcast called Mosen at Large, very informative and very good, but his podcasts are very long. And if the podcaster that creates the podcast is conscious of that, as he is, he marks up his podcast so that you're able as a user to skip to the chapter. You can see the list of the chapters and the titles of the chapters and skip to what's pertinent to you and what you want to get to right away. And you can skip right to it, which is very useful and very handy. Examples of podcasts that I subscribe to, and just like YouTube and just like the internet in general, with things like these that are so vast as far as the categories and topics that you can choose from, there's a lot of crap out there. A lot of stuff out there that's just useless stuff that will get you involved listening to things that maybe, you know, just nonsense, is a waste of your time. I tend to use it just for informative things, learning positive things. If I need inspiration, I'm a guitar player, so I use it for subscribing to, one of them that I subscribe to is called Guitar Theory. And I subscribe to that podcast and I learned some very useful tools for playing guitar on using this podcast. Another one that I belong to is Freedom Scientific's podcast, Freedom Scientific Training Podcast. So they put out a podcast weekly or biweekly. I'm not sure exactly how often they do it, but every time they do, they also throw it into their podcast. So if you subscribe, you have access to that podcast anytime you want to. You can listen to it over and over again. I can't tell you how many things I've learned using that. I use Windows for business. So JAWS is my screen, my main screen reader. And I've been a JAWS user for a long time now, more since JAWS, 93.1 or something like that. I can't remember the numbers, but way back. And so I'm a JAWS user. And I still today, because they've made so many advances and so many changes, I still refer to that training podcast for updates with Excel, with Word, with the internet, and they add new features all the time. They have a smart feature called Sharky. That's their Alexa. So it's Sharky, and you can now ask it to give you your computer's battery life and tell you to do all kinds of various different JAWS functions. Raise your volume, there's a few other things, a lot of other things that you can do now using Sharky. And they have a training podcast just on how to use Sharky. So How do you access podcasts, guys? I'll tell you, it's very simple. You download an app. You can download for Windows. I'm trying to think what I think there is a free podcatcher out there for Windows. I haven't used it in a while because I mostly listen to podcasts now when I'm on the road. So I'm using my mobile devices. But I'm sure there's one out there, or you can go to any website. For example, you can go to the Freedom Scientific website and you can, in their search field, type podcast and you'll get a link to their podcast where you can subscribe. And, you know, you provide your email address and you'll be updated all the time when there's new podcasts coming out. Or if you're using an app on your phone, use the podcast app that's on your phone, and you'll see right away. Very simple. Most of these podcast apps are very similar. You have an ad podcast thing, ad URL. If a lot of times a website will give you a link to subscribe to their podcast. You put that link into the search box. It will then right away find that for you. You then choose to subscribe, and right away, automatically, you have a list of all of their podcasts right on your device. Boy, how useful is it? I use it for everything. I have an Apple Watch as well, so I subscribe to an Apple Watch podcast so that I've learned so many new things, and I get updated on any new features, new apps that are out there for my watch. I subscribe to there's a one for Alexa users. There's a dot to dot, and this guy, all he does is every day provide a quick tip on how to use your Alexa device as a blind person. What else do I subscribe to? I have so many, and now I just don't have the time to listen to so many anymore. I try to find time to listen to ones that are pertinent at the moment when I need it. But that's my thing on podcasts. I'm trying to think of if there's any important thing that I'm missing. Janie, if anything that I'm missing out that you might want me to mention, let me know. But
I think you're doing fine. I think you can move on to the Prime and all that.
All right.
Apple Prime. Is it Applevis? What's that? Tony? That's Applevis.
Applevis.
They have a
podcast. Applevis is another great podcast. Yeah. Applevis podcast is a great podcast so that you can all it is using Apple products from a blind perspective. And that's all it is. Anything that's there, you can go to their website as well, which is very useful as well, applevis.com. And whenever, especially if you have a phone, you want to know how to use your specific phone, you can type that in the search box. You'll find it and get information, manuals, tutorials, podcasts, everything you need to know. Applevis is great. Apple TV, I use. Is that one you want me to talk about, Janie? Because I actually wasn't sure exactly which topic.
That's fine.
You want me
to touch on. Apple TV, Netflix, you know, those kinds of things.
Okay.
Disney Plus, all that. Yeah.
Netflix is great. And let me tell you something. You got Janie. You gave a talk on audio description. I'm catching up. I'm watching Seinfeld. It feels like for the first time. And I'm a Seinfeld buff. Like I do Seinfeld trivia. I can do Seinfeld trivia for hours, and I feel like I'm watching it for the first time. Aww. And I'm have audio description now with Seinfeld. It's awesome stuff. But Netflix is great. I use all of these things. For example, my wife has Amazon Prime, so with that she gets the Prime Video. So Apple Fitness. I got a bundle that has Apple Fitness, Apple TV Plus, Apple Music, which is awesome as well. With that, I get Apple TV Plus. So now all of these apps, I don't have to go and load a new. I have them all on one device, which is on my what's called the Apple TV. It's like your cable box, but for holding all of your apps. And it's basically like having an iPhone just connected to your TV with all of these apps in there. So I have YouTube on my Apple TV. I have, like I said, Amazon Prime, Netflix, or HBO Max, Disney. And these are all because we have bundles that just included these things free. I can't afford to subscribe to all of these things individually. These things were just included. And when that subscription runs out. If I'm not interested, I just don't subscribe to it. But the point is, I can access all of these things on one device using a remote control that's accessible, and it has VoiceOver built in, connected to your TV. And you have all of these things right on you, and you can use Siri. You have all of these apps, and right on your thing, you make sure you go. You have an accessibility menu where you go in and you make sure that that audio description is turned on. So for most apps, when you turn them on and go watch a movie, you don't have to go into its settings and turn on audio description. It's not the same for all apps. Some apps you still may have to go and do that. But for the most part, anything that comes into your phone that has audio description built in will automatically start talking to you. It'll automatically invoke the audio description. Very useful, very handy. And this is just another Apple device that's very accessible, and it's just an amazing thing that's completely accessible from top to bottom. You can set it up yourself, go through all the settings, set up your accessibility settings. The remote control is very useful, very accessible. And the remote control is actually Bluetooth, so you don't even have to point it specifically at anything. You just hold it in your hand anywhere in your room and use it using Siri, and using it actually acts as a home hub. So if you have home devices that you include in your Apple HomeKit, all of these things can pop up right on your screen as you're watching TV. If somebody rings your doorbell, you get it. Things like that. They're just amazing, all in one device. It's Apple TV, and I forget what the new ones cost now. They're not as expensive as the iPhone or anything. They're like, $150, $200, something like that. Mm-hmm. But and very useful tool, very useful, and it's just incredible, and it's great that we have these things, because they make my life nicer. I know that. Anyway, that's my presentation. If anybody has questions on anything else that they're interested in, please feel free during the Q&A. Feel free to ask any questions. I'm pretty versed in most everything. I know a little bit about everything. So as far as
a lot about everything. That's why you're the vice president. That's why you're my right hand guy. Anyway, I want to thank my team here, Tracy and Ed and Tony, and they presented this at our state convention, and it was such a good hit. I thought would be really good and valuable information here. Before we go on to the Q&A, woohoo! It's check time.
Okay, we are ready. So everybody, listen up. I'm going to warm up my Lady A. Alexa, volume 8. Alexa, give us a number between 1 and 27.
Here's a number between 1 and 27. It's 12.
Did everybody hear that? It's number 12. And number 12 is Judith Ray. Are you here, Judith?
Tell us you're here, Judith.
Uh-oh.
Can you unmute yourself? Can somebody see the participants panel to see if she's in the room? I don't have mine open.
She appears to be in the room. She's
I'm here.
All right.
Yay! You are the winner today.
Judy, let me hear it. How excited are you?
I'm excited, excited, excited. Listen.
All right, good girl. You'll be getting a $10 check next week from the NFBNJ Senior Division. Very good.
Okay, what do I do?
Nothing. You just open up the envelope on Monday or Tuesday of next week and say, ooh, there's $10 from the NFBNJ Senior Division. Okay, good girl. Yeah, you have to say woohoo, otherwise you can't open it. That's right.
Woohoo. I had to unmute myself, so it took me a while to figure it out.
Well, you learned that. That's good. See? Day two, we're getting there.
Technology.
All right. All right. Okay. So now we're good. Thank you, Judy. Sandra,
yes.
Thanks for doing this and keeping the names and congratulations.
The whole team is great so far.
Well, wonderful. You didn't have to say that just because you won anyway. Okay.
No, so, I wouldn't have said it if I had won.
I know. Okay, sweetheart.
I'm a very truthful person. So
that a girl. Okay. All right. So now we're going to open it up to Q&A. And Ellen Sullivan is here also. She's another host from New Jersey. And so is Miss Ruth from New Jersey. And they're both helping Michael today. So can you guys see if there's any raised hands? And we'll do the Q&A. Remember, raise your hand if you can and wait to be recognized. Say your name and wait for me to say you have the floor before you start to speak. That would be very helpful.
Gloria Conway has her hand up.
Okay, Gloria.
Thank you, Ellen.
Oh, you're welcome.
Can you unmute, honey?
Thank you. This is Gloria.
You have the floor.
I want to ask about the Apple TV. I've heard a lot about it over recent times. It sounds like an awesome device. But other than, I guess you know, this technology can be very confusing because it moves so fast. Now, if I want to set up this Apple TV, can I Bluetooth it to my Wi-Fi, have a wireless connection to my Wi-Fi, and will I be able to get broadcast TV on the Apple TV, or is it basically just an app device?
Tony here. Okay. It isn't. It's a device where you, download apps. Now, cable TV on it, that's a good question. So have your cable channels on it?
No, not cable, broadcast, like an antenna.
Oh, not that I've ever heard of, no. But your question about, was it wireless? Yeah, it connects to the internet via Wi-Fi. So everything is that is important to have a good Wi-Fi connection. And if your Wi-Fi connection is not so good, you might want to have it as close to the Wi-Fi as possible. But I usually don't have a problem. I have my TV downstairs is like pretty far from the actual Wi-Fi router, and it never has a problem.
Where'd you go? Sorry, guys.
I muted myself accidentally real quick. So for the most part, yeah, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection, you're fine. And it connects to your TV via an HDMI cable.
Alexa.
That you do have to connect. To connect it to your television, it does have to connect via HDMI cable.
So the Apple TV is not really a TV standalone device.
No. It's like a little cable box. Think of your cable box.
Okay.
So it connects to your TV.
All right. So it's not even a television. Not even a screen.
No, it's not. It's not a screen. They may be coming out with something like that soon. But it is just a little box. It's like the size. Mine is like maybe 4 inches by 4 inches and 2 inches tall.
Okay.
And it's a little thing.
Oh, what is that other? There's another device that you can attach to a TV.
The Fire Stick. That's an Amazon device, the Fire Stick.
Okay,
we're going to go on to the next one. There's about four people with hands raised.
Let's go to the other people.
June is next.
June, you can unmute yourself. You have the floor, honey.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I have like three questions. Okay, now with I have Xfinity. Now, I need to get an X Fun Box. So I get that from the Xfinity store, or that's a separate piece of equipment?
I think she's talking to you, Ed.
Godfrey here. X Fun Box, yeah, you would have to go to, you can probably call Comcast and they'll send it to you. Okay. The X Fun Box gives you and you have to have the X Fun Box in order to have the voice guidance. But all you got to do is contact, or if you have a cable store in your area, you can probably go there and pick one up too. But they'll exchange the box for you. Take your old box back, and then you put the X1 on one, and it'll give you all the voice guidance features.
Ed, real quick. Ed, do you know if you have to be subscribed to a certain package with Xfinity to get the X1 box?
I'm not sure because I have the package. Yeah. I don't think so. Okay. I think that might be something to contact Comcast about.
June, is that your name, June?
What package do you have now?
Yeah, I would suggest you call
Hold on. Go ahead, Tony.
Call your cable company and ask them. Tell them you want the X1. Tell them. And actually, I've dealt with Xfinity. They're actually pretty good with working with you. Yeah. So you tell them you're visually impaired and you want the X1. You don't want to increase what you're paying for cable, but tell them you're blind and you would love to take advantage of using their accessible cable box.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to go up in cable box, you make sure you let that be known to them that you don't want your cable bill to go up because you're getting a new box.
We heard Linda DeBardinas chime in and she says, no, you do not. Sure. So, yeah.
Okay.
This is Judy. There is a disability line that Comcast has.
Yes, I know about that. Yeah, I'm on the accessibility line.
That's good.
There may be other people who don't know that, so we're saying it for everybody.
For the accessibility, but now the box that I have is a regular box that I can get. You know, I can still stream. So they would have to. I would have to change that box out and get the X Fun box.
No,
the different box.
You may already have it, but. It does the same thing. Anybody can have one. That's not a blindness thing.
Okay.
So anybody can have the X1 box.
Yeah. And if you call your cable company, they look up your account. They know what box you have, and they'll tell you. And they'll tell you what to do. If they do exchange it for you for the next one, they'll tell you exactly what to do to send yours back and get your new one.
Okay, yep. Great.
That's the best advice. Very good, mm-hmm. June.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Carolyn Peters.
Dr. Carolyn Peters, everybody. You have the floor, honey. Go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm more interested in the Instacart. I have never ordered groceries or food online like that. And I was wondering, is it difficult to, fill out the application, or can you call and place your order? And where do you get your grocery list? I got a few friends that are on it, so I'll have to check with them as well. But while we're able to ask that question, that's something I'm interested in doing.
Mary Jo could probably answer that. She's got a raised hand, and she did Instacart at our convention. Mary Jo, can you have the floor? Can you open the lineup?
Hi. I've been doing Instacart for about 2 years since COVID started, because my husband and I didn't want to have to make other people do our shopping and, put themselves in a situation where they could possibly get COVID. I usually do it on my iPhone or my iPad. And there is an application. It's not that difficult. You have to, put your name and your email address, and you have to, you could either pay by the month, or you could, what we do is we have a service where we pay by the year, and we get free delivery, and we're able to, according to them, we saved $500 in the past 2 years or something like that from using it. And it's very easy. There's a lot of stores that they have Acme ShopRite. We usually do Wegmans, but there's a bunch of them. They also have stores like CVS, the Container Store, almost anything you can imagine, BJ's, Costco. And it's a very easy service to use if you're good with doing the iPhone.
Okay. Is that better than ordering? We use Kroger's here in the Ohio area, or Dayton anyway. And I was wondering if it's easier to order from the store that may deliver.
Well, Instacart does deliver.
Yeah, well, what
they
I'm
do deliver.
Is, if you order directly from the grocery store itself.
Well, that's an option for you to decide, I think. I mean, that's...
Yeah, you would have to decide that. But it's a very easy app to use.
Uh-huh, but it's a fee for Instacart.
Yeah, there is a fee for it. But then, of course, you have to pay for your delivery. And then, they ask you if you want to tip your driver. And, we usually give a 20% tip because they are coming out. They're bringing stuff.
Yeah.
And they're actually doing your shopping for you. And their tech support service is pretty good. But I don't know if I can answer your other question, because this is the only way I know how to do Instacart from this.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
My guess is it would be cheaper to go directly to the store if that's the specific store you want. But I don't know for sure. So you might want to check that out.
This is Michael. I'd like to comment a little bit about Instacart. I've been using it for
quite
a while.
Right.
Okay.
You're here.
So,
I forgot.
Yes, I am here.
yes.
I love Instacart. Now, first of all, you have to understand what it is. It is a third-party service that what you're paying for is the shoppers go to the store, get your items, and get in their vehicle and bring them to your door. So, yes, you're going to pay a little bit extra for that. And perhaps the biggest downside for some is that a lot of stores, sometimes Instacart marks up the price a little bit on each item. I personally found two stores, at least for me, that don't do any markup are Aldi's and Sam's, if you have a card there. So the stores that you have available to you will depend on your zip code. So that's one of the first things you put in is your zip code. And it'll show you what you have grocery stores, and you'll have other things that she mentioned. You might have Best Buy. You might have different beauty supply, just different department stores. It's going to depend specifically on your zip code, what you have available to you. So there's a service. It's $99 a year. Now, I just saw the other day they were saying get 14 days free and get half price the first year for $49. And so then you will pay whatever the total of your food or other items, and then you'll pay maybe 5 or 10%, whatever. You can adjust that, what the extra that you're paying your shopper for doing the work. So I try to tip the shoppers. Most of them are very good. Now, I did have two instances where things were taken to the wrong address, but Instacart did resolve the issue. I think it's a great service, but again, how well it works for you and use it can depend on your ability to. But if you're proficient with your iPhone, it's a great service. It's very accessible. You can set things like tell it, I want no replacements, or if this item's out of stock, I want this particular item to replace it. You'll get notifications once a shopper begins picking up your items, and you can text or communicate with that shopper if there's something out of stock, or they say, we got this, but it's, you know, twice the size or half the size. What do you want to do? Or do you want a different product? I don't think they communicate as much as they used to because they were trying to make the shoppers be a little more efficient and move faster, but you can certainly interact with them and tell them what you need. But I don't know. I think it's a great service. But yeah, if you already have Kroger or something, or even Walmart, if you don't want to pay extra money, you could get a Walmart subscription. They will deliver your groceries. They don't add any fees other than the annual subscription, which both Instacart and Walmart, I think, are like $99 a year, and they'll bring everything to your door. Sometimes you get half price. I saw Walmart had $49 instead of $99 for a year. And I think they even included, what's that, Paramount Network TV streaming service in there as well. So that's my two cents. I love Instacart. I think it's blind people very liberating.
Thank you, Michael. He's the greatest host of all. He stays nice and quiet, and we forget he's even there. He's like the Wizard of Oz behind the scenes. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Michael, how could I do that? Okay, I'm sorry, Michael. You're awesome. All right, and what's the next person with their hand up?
Bernie, and after Bernie is Carolyn.
Okay, Bernie, when you unmute, you have the floor, honey.
Hey, this is Bernie from Richmond, Virginia. I agree with Michael. I love Instacart. I have a question for, I guess, I think his name's Tony.
Yes.
So I have a Samsung big screen TV with a built-in Alexa Fire Stick, Fire, whatever you call it, TV.
Yep, Fire TV.
Yeah. The voice is terrible. I can't understand it. The accessibility voice, and I have Apple TV hooked up to it. So for my cable, I have Sling TV, which is, are you familiar with that? It's an app.
I know of it, but I have no familiarity with it.
Okay. So it's an app, and I download the app to the Apple TV, and I only really use it three months out of the year for, like, you know, the football playoffs and the college football playoffs. And that way I don't have to pay for cable all year long. Cause I'm trying to save money, you know, trying to cut the cable bill.
Sure.
And, the problem is that, the voiceover for the Apple TV, you know, it'll get me to the Sling TV, but it won't read me the TV channels in the actual app.
The app is not accessible.
Right. So that's my first question. I guess so there's no way around that other than to contact Sling TV, right?
Contact Sling and see if they, now, do you have Sling on your phone?
Yes. And it's somewhat accessible on the more accessible, not completely, but it's somewhat more accessible on the phone.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, depending on what phone you have, you could turn on the screen recognition and things like that to see if it might help with accessing some things, but you don't have that yet on the Apple TV. Now, you can try, you said you have the Fire TV built in. That's accessible as well. If you can try it, you may be able to also download this Sling app for Fire TV and see if it works better that way. Now, as far as the voice for your Fire TV, you should have an accessibility section of that Fire TV way to change voices. I'm not sure if they're providing more than one voice, but the voice that I know of sounds pretty good.
Okay. I have a Fire TV myself. Yeah.
Hi, Godfrey here. Yeah, I have the Fire Stick, and the voice that's used with Samsung is horrible, but the voice that Fire uses is VoiceView. It's the Amazon VoiceView, and that's very good. And their apps are very accessible. I haven't tried Sling TV, but the apps I use with this, I believe you can switch between the Samsung voice and the VoiceView.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point because you want to make sure that your Samsung voice is not what you're using.
You want to use VoiceView. That's what the Fire Stick uses. The Fire uses VoiceView.
there's a lot going on though, because if you know, if you need to access menus of your TV, you specifically the Samsung television, you need to use the Samsung voice.
But yeah, I gotta figure out how to do that.
Yeah,
okay, well, with the Fire Stick, should be with the Fire TV, on your remote control, there's a menu button and there's a back button. And if you hold those two down for 2 seconds, it will turn on voice you. But I don't know if I don't know how Samsung works, because I don't have access to Samsung.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I do have another question, but I'll ask you offline.
Well, this is Michael. Okay. I just want to tell you that it was 2019, but I was able to use the Sling app on the Fire TV itself. So
cool. Oh wow, really?
Cool. There you go.
That's good to know.
You've got a lot of resources. That's good.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you.
Carolyn, when you unmute yourself, you have the floor, hon.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I just have two quick questions. I had to call my grandson in to raise my hand and unmute me. Now, could I do that with VoiceOver?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I'm on my iPad, so I guess I need to put VoiceOver on.
Absolutely.
Let's make sure that we understand something, though. Siri and VoiceOver are two different things. So you can't say to your thing, unmute. Hey, Siri, unmute me. Siri and VoiceOver are two different things. So VoiceOver, you can. My Siri is responding over here. Using VoiceOver, you navigate to your mute button and you double tap and mute and unmute. If that's for example.
I always think you guys may be able to hear my VoiceOver, but you won't be able to, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Second question. You said something about Apple Viz. Now that's an app. Could you spell that? Is it Apple V-I-S?
No. Yes. Apple Viz is a website.
Website.
Applevis.
And it tells you how to work your phone, or
you can find links to help for your device, whatever device you have, Apple device you have, iPhone, iPod, on Mac, whatever Apple device you have, you can find help for on the AppleViz.com website.
Okay, that's all I wanted.
One of the best places to get information.
Sure, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay, and next,
Linda DeBardinas.
Linda DeBardinas, you have the floor when you unmute, honey.
Yes, this is Linda from New Jersey. I just wanted to tell the person that was asking about the Xfinity X1 box. The main thing is when you get the X1 box, you need the remote. So ask them for the accessible remote, because that's what you really need. And that's how you'll be able to put the VoiceOver on and off. And have them come out to show you. Don't have somebody pick it up. Have them come out to hook it up and show you
so that
you will know how to use it. That's what I did.
That's good. And if Linda D did it, it can be done. All right. Very good. Ellen, are there any more hands raised, honey?
No, there aren't any more hands, Janie.
Everybody's exhausted now. It's too overload.
Well, I got to tell you something. This was a really great hour. We learned a lot. We shared a lot. I feel at times we even talk a lot. You can lose your mind. Oh, no. When cousin, remember that from Patty Duke? Anyway, everything was a song with me. In any event, I think you learned a lot. I think we learned a lot. And I want to thank Tracy Carcioni, Ed Goffrey, Tony Santiago, and all the retreaters for participating in this hour. It was a wonderful hour. And we're going to have another great hour tomorrow with Curtis Chong. He's
Michael was here. Don't forget Michael was here.
Oh, we love Michael. Michael, baby. My God. In any event, Curtis is going to be here tomorrow. He's going to be talking about all tips and tricks with VoiceOver. So if you have trouble where your name is and how to go back and all of those things that we talked about at 2:00, he's going to answer tons of questions. And he's also going to talk about JAWS, and it's not as expensive as it used to be. And so that's tomorrow. Thursday is all Newsline, the different ways to access it, how to be a part of it, and also using Alexa. And on Friday, come prepared, because we're going to have an open session pretty much almost the whole time talking about all the fun things we can do on Alexa and how it's improved our lives. So that's the rest of the wrap up for the week. Thank you everybody for being here, and I'm going to pass it off to Judy, who can sign this one off and bring up the next session. Thank you, Tech Team New Jersey, and thank you, Michael.